I don't know why this thought came to me. I don't know why I was impressed with it to talk about this tonight. So apparently, we have to trust the Lord that it's going to help somebody here tonight, or it's going to be something that you're going to need maybe now, maybe you'll need it in the future, because as a pastor, you'd like to think you know your congregation quite well, especially when it's not a large, large congregation. But I felt impressed to share this tonight. Many times when it comes to God, we think that if we're going to approach God and if God's going to really do anything to help me, that I'm going to have to live up to His standards and His expectations, and I'm going to have to be good enough so that God will bless me, so that God will meet the needs that I have, so He'll give me a healing when I need it, so that He'll help me when the relationship that I'm in, and I'm talking about not ungodly relationships, but in the family things, that God will be there to help me. And so what we want to talk about tonight, the thought is this: Jesus meets you where you are. He meets you where you are. Amen. Right in the exact spot that you are, in the condition that you're in tonight, that's where Jesus will meet you. You don't have to better yourself. You don't have to be given tithes and given offerings and doing this and doing that and attending church all the time and just really be there. You don't have to prove yourself to God for God to meet you. Because He's the kind of God, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so Jesus will meet you where you are. And the first scripture that we want to look at, we're not going to read all of them because there's a lot of them. It's in John chapter 4. And this is where Jesus met the woman at the well. He met this woman where she was at. And when it says there, well, we can read verse 4, and it says in the writing that he must needs go through Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria. And you have to have, and we've talked about this before, you have this understanding that the Jewish people had nothing to do with the Samaritans. And if my memory serves me right, they would go out of their way, and I think it was a 17-mile, if you want to call it, detour that they would have to go on so that they didn't go through Samaria, because they felt if they had any dealings with them, they would become unclean because they weren't Jewish people. But yet, here's Jesus reaching out. This might be one of the first stories told about in the Bible where the Jewish people actually started having some communication with the Samaritan people, with the unclean people, the undesirable people. But Jesus needed to go through Samaria, and he went down there to meet that woman at the well, and he did it regardless of her social standing. Jesus will meet you wherever you are. If you're rich, Jesus will meet you. If you're dirt poor, Jesus will meet you. Whatever your condition is, if you wear the best of clothes, if you're wearing the best that you have and it's not very good, Jesus will meet you there. He's that kind of God. And when Jesus meets us wherever we are at, there is nothing that he does not know about you. He knows everything about you. We can hide it from mom and dad. We can hide it from husband. We can hide it from wife. Children can hide things from their parents. Parents can keep things, try to keep them undercover from their children. And sometimes we think that God doesn't know what's going on in our lives. That God doesn't know about those things that, you know, we don't want to talk about. We get uncomfortable about it. They were even talking about that a little bit over there at the men's retreat. You know, we don't want to go to an altar. We're embarrassed by it. God knows about it anyways. And he wants us to confess our faults one to another. Amen. He talked about that one time. But to confess our sins to him, to confess our faults and our failures to him. That's the kind of God that we're serving. And if you read the story, this man Jesus came by this woman at Samaria. And she didn't even know who it was that was talking to him. She knew that he was a Jew because in verse 9 she says, "How is it that thou being a Jew asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And she was straightening up. She was puzzled that this man would talk to her. And then Jesus said to her, he talked to her, and he says, "If you knew who it was that was talking to you, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, you would ask of him and he would give thee living water. And then the story goes on. And then he really got down and personal about it. You get down into verse 16. Jesus says to her, go call thy husband and come hither. And I'm talking about God already knows your faults and your failures. He knows my faults and my failures. I can hide them from you, but I can't hide them from God. He already knows. And so as he's talking to this woman, I don't know what there is in this place that's making me cough, but something is. And Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he who thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest thou truly. And then we sometimes look at this and think she was a terrible woman because she had five husbands. But I did a little bit of study on this. The way that the Samaritans lived back at that time, the non-Jewish people, if this woman was a widow indeed by the age of 40 in the laws and rules that they lived by, it was very possible that she had five husbands by the time that she met Jesus. And so, and I've heard people say this, some people will read that and they'll think, well, she was just a loose woman. I mean, my goodness, somebody that's had five husbands. Because then he did say a truth there. And he says, the one that you're now with, and it says, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. So she had another man. So from that, they draw the conclusion that she was a very evil woman. But perhaps not. She could have been a widow indeed. There could have just been bad things that happened to her. But the point that I want to make here is Jesus knew all about her. He knew all about her. He knew everything about her. And Jesus will meet you where you are. And he knows everything about you. He knows your faults, your failures. He knows your uprisings. He knows your down sittings. He knows where you have issues in believing in him. He knows in the areas of your life where you're not obeying his word. He already knows all that. But that doesn't stop him from meeting you. And so when he met Jesus, when Jesus met up with her, he showed her a better way. And then she went forth, and she went and told all the people in the city, and they came out, and they heard Jesus. And then if you get down near the end of that story, around verses 40 to 42 in there, the people of that area begin to believe. And it wasn't because of the woman that said it to them, because she says, come and see a man, in so many words, it told me everything I ever did. The reason that they believed is because they came and heard Jesus for themselves. They came and heard him for themselves. That's verse 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying. We don't believe because you told us this. But it goes on, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so Jesus met this woman where she was at. He helped her. Wherever you're at tonight, God will meet you where you're at. He'll meet you on your grounds. He'll meet you in your home. You don't have to go to some special place to meet God. He'll come to where you are. In another one that we're going to look at tonight, I have a few of them here. We're going to go over to the book of Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And I'm not planning on reading these 10 verses here. But Luke chapter 19. Jesus will meet people where they are at. Jesus met this woman at the well. She didn't have to go down to the church house. She didn't have to go down to the temple to meet Jesus there. Jesus met her at the well. Now we're going to meet a man. Jesus, of all places, Jesus met this man in a tree. In a tree. Doesn't sound like he was in a church of any kind to me. Doesn't sound like he was in any tabernacle or any temple or any church building. He was in a tree. And Jesus went to where he was. And so what we want to draw from this tonight, as Jesus went where these people were, we need to go to where the people are to draw them into the kingdom of God. You can't expect people to come to you and say, oh, please tell me the way of eternal life. What must I do to be saved? There's special occasions where that might happen. It happened with the Philippian jailer when there was a traumatic thing that happened. There was that earthquake and all the prison doors were open and he thought some prisoners had escaped and he was fearful for his life and he come out and said, what must I do to be saved? And that was a little bit of a different circumstance. He came and asked them, but most of the time people are not going to come to the church house and walk in the door and say, I'm here to receive Jesus. It's not going to happen that way. Jesus went to where the people are. We have to go to where the people are. Brother Kyle, it's the job, the responsibility that he has. I don't want to call it a job. He goes over to the McKean County Jail. He takes Jesus over there to them where they are in those prison bars. Maybe behind bars, locked up, they're confined there. He takes the word to them. And we got to take the word to this lost and dying world to where the people are. Because the people in this world that are not believers, they're in a prison. They're living behind bars. They got chains. They got shackles around them. They don't have the freedom and the liberty just to come into a church and to worship and praise God because they're bound. So we need to go where they are. So Jesus went to where Zacchaeus was. And he was a publican, I believe it was, which was a tax collector. This is another one. He had a social standing. Well, I would never deal with that one. They're an important person. They're the local tax collector. They're the banker. They're a doctor. They're a lawyer. They're this or that. You know, they're educated people. They should know where they need to go. But well, in a sense, Zacchaeus went to where Jesus was, but Jesus met him in a tree. Jesus could have passed by. I know there was a great crowd there that day because it was such a great crowd. He was a little short man, and the reason he climbed up in that tree is he couldn't see this Jesus. He heard so much about him, and he wanted to see him. And so he climbed up in that tree. And when Jesus came by, the sycamore tree, he climbed in that sycamore tree, in verse 4, because Jesus was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, I want you to make haste. I want you to hurry and come down, for today I must abide, or I must stay at thy house. He went to where he was. Jesus meets you where you are at. And all of these people that Jesus had encounters with, he showed them a better way to live. The woman at the well, I believe she found her salvation. I don't believe she went back and lived in sin with that man. She was a different person. She believed that this was Jesus the Messiah. And then Zacchaeus, he went out and he made it right of all the people that he had falsely taken money from them. How would you like to have a tax collector like that? Amen. Rome would send the information down and Zacchaeus would get it. He was the chief tax collector, and Rome would say, this is how much we want from Riley Oaks. This is how much we want. And then he would take that and he might double the amount on it. And he would say, Rome doesn't want $500 from you. They want $1,000 from you. And he would keep 500 of it for himself. How would you like to have a tax collector like that today? You make sometimes think your tax collector's doing that, but I would think that they're not, amen, because of the system and the safeguards that they have set up. But that's the kind of man that he was. And after he was converted to Christ, the Bible tells us that he went out and he paid those people back. I don't know if he had records or how he did it, but he made it right because he knew he had done wrong. But Jesus went to where Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus didn't have to straighten his life out first and go and pay all the people that he had done wrong, make retribution to them, and everything's good, and then come to Jesus because now I'm good enough for Jesus. Jesus went to where Zacchaeus was. In John chapter 8, you can turn over there, and we're going to look at another one where Jesus was faced with a situation. John chapter 8. And so far, Jesus went to the well, and he met a woman there. Jesus called a man down out of a tree, and in John chapter 8, verses 3 through 5, we're going to read that. And this was the woman that was caught in adultery. This was a woman that was caught in adultery. Jesus met her where she was at. Let's read this. 3 through 5, the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, she must have felt ashamed. You can only imagine. That would be a shameful thing. And they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Jesus met that woman where she was at. He didn't look at that woman. He didn't rebuke her. What in the world are you doing? They should take you out and stone you, but this is your lucky day because I'm going to forgive you. He didn't quite say it that way to her, but he met her where she was at. He didn't disassociate himself with her. He could have said, an adulterer. leprous, get her out of my sight. She's unclean. I don't want her near me. He met her where she was at. So no matter how undone you think you are, no matter if the things that you have done or perhaps is going on in your life now, and you think Jesus doesn't care about me, he's not going to help me, Jesus will meet you where you are at. And he met that woman where she was at in that adultery. He didn't condone it, but you read the whole story and it come down to the end. And all the accusers, they left and they walked away. And then Jesus looked up at that woman. And I believe, I mean, that would have been a sight to see, the look on her face when he said in so many words, I'm not going to condemn you, but he said, you go and you sin no more. He said, you can leave from here, but you don't sin anymore. He made her life better. She didn't have to make her life better and come to Jesus. She came as she was, not by her own choice in that situation, because they drug her to Jesus, but there was a difference that was made in her life. Amen. She was about to be stoned. And so far we looked at Jesus went to a woman at the well. He went to a man that was in a tree, and he helped a woman that was about to be stoned, and she was caught in adultery. All three of these characters that we looked at, they're not good stories, not somebody you would want to associate yourself with as a child of God, but Jesus associated himself with them. We need to go out into the highways and byways and compel people to come in. You need to challenge yourself. Whoever you think the worst sinner is, whoever you think the worst drunk is, whoever you think the worst drug addict is in town, if the Spirit of God would speak to you, you need to put your sights on them, and you need to go seek them out, and you need to go talk to them and let the Spirit of God lead you so that you can help them, because Jesus does that. We used to sing that song, oh, when he reached down his hand for me. Yes, he reached way down for me. We could all sing this. I was lost and undone without God nor his son. But he reached down his hand for me. And these three that we looked at tonight so far, Jesus reached down his hand for them. That's right. He offered them help. We are today. We are his hands extended to this lost, dying world. There's that song that we sing, to be his hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch him, let me touch Jesus, so that others may know and be blessed. But we need to be anointed by God to go out into the highways and into the byways and compel people to come in. Well, they're not going to come in. I've been rejected before, and so I'm just going to give up. We talked about it a lot last week, last Sunday morning. Jesus was rejected a whole lot, but he didn't give up. He didn't give up because he was rejected, and we can't give up because of rejection. Amen. And so this woman was caught in adultery. She was about to be stoned. And then just turn back a few pages. John chapter 5. There's somebody else here that was in quite a predicament. John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. And Jesus went to this man, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And there was a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. How would you like to be sick for 38 years? 38 years, this man had an infirmity. He couldn't get down to the water, so I don't know if he was crippled. He was in bad shape. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Jesus met that man where he was at. We used to sing that song, oh, I met Jesus at the well where my soul was parched and dry. He was waiting there for me, and from his love I could not hide. He gave me living waters. They poured them deep inside. I found happiness with Jesus at the well. This man couldn't get to Jesus. Jesus met him where he was. Listen, we got to take this seriously. The people in this world, they can't get to Jesus on their own. They can't do it. They can't do it. As much as they might even want to do it. They're like this man that was sick for 38 years. He might have wanted to try to get to Jesus. He didn't have it in his power and his ability to get to Jesus. There's people in this world that do not have the power and the ability to get to Jesus. It's our responsibility to take Jesus to them, to let the love of Jesus shine through them. And there's many various ways that you could do that. It could be a visit that you can give them. It can be a tract that you can give them. A conversation that you just have, a good conversation with them. Let them see Jesus in you, and they'll notice something different about you, and they'll see hope in you. But this man, he was on that sick bed for 38 years, and Jesus went and met him there. He knew, Jesus knew that man had been that way a long time in verse 6. So apparently Jesus had passed that way before. And Jesus knows all things anyways. God knows everything. He knows your situation today. He knows everybody's situation. He'll come and he'll meet you where you're at. He'll meet you. He'll meet you in your unbelief. He ain't going to shun you and turn you away. He'll meet you in your struggles of trying to understand the scriptures. He's not going to be, so you don't agree with the scripture, you don't understand my word, I'm just not even going to meet you. You're not worthy for me to enter into your house to have a talk with you. He doesn't look at it that way. He'll meet you in your struggles.
Yeah.
He'll meet you in those lowest points of your life. That's the kind of God that we're serving. And sometimes we feel ashamed. We study the Word of God and there's something we don't understand. We're struggling with it. Jesus is not angry with you because you don't understand it, but he will meet you there. He will help you. He will give you understanding. That's the kind of God that we're serving. Amen. If we want the help. And so he met a woman at the well. He met that tax collector in a tree. He met up with a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, that was about to be stoned, and he met a man that was sick in a bed for 38 years and couldn't get his help. And Jesus healed that man, if you read the rest of the story. And there's that song we used to sing, oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passes by. Amen. And Jesus wants to pass by your life tonight. He wants to pass by everybody's life in this world, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In the goodness of the Lord leadeth men to repentance. He wants to do things in their lives, but he's not here to do it. So stop and think about it. How's it going to happen in people's lives? It's going to happen through me and through you. Amen. In your world, the world of people that you know, you have the responsibility to take Jesus to them, to be his hand extended to this world. Matthew chapter 27. So we're moving backward in the Bible a little bit. Amen, but I don't have them necessarily in order, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew 27. Jesus met the thief that was dying on the cross. Remember what we're talking about tonight. Jesus meets you where you are. Got to that cross. Jesus didn't chastise that man. Let's just read a few of these scriptures here. Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 38. And there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou hast destroyed the temple. Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross. We will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And so the one of them, one of the thieves, did what the other people were doing. We just read all of the mocking and scourging that they gave Jesus. They reviled him. They gave him a hard time. They were mocking him. They were making fun of him. Scriptures indicate that they were spitting at him. Oh, you're this great prophet. You're this great man. You said you could take the temple down and build it in 3 days. Now you're on the cross. If you're so great and wonderful, take yourself from the cross. And one of those thieves on the one side of Jesus, he began to revile Christ. He started to make fun of him and was making accusations against him. But the one on the other side, he said, Lord, help me. And Jesus said to him, he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus met this man where he was. He was in a dire situation. He was in the last moments of life. He was right there. And there's people that Jesus has met in the last moments of their life where they have cried out to God, and God's like, no. No, you didn't have time for me for your whole life. No, no, you're not getting away with this now. If a true repentant heart calls out to God, even upon their deathbed, the grace and the mercy of the Lord, he will forgive them They will be in heaven with him, because he said to that thief, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. And so he met that man where he was at. In Luke chapter 8, the last one that I have tonight, Luke chapter 8, we're going to look at this. Luke chapter 8, another person that he met. You could go on and on and on with this, because Jesus helped so many people. And we're going down to verse 43. So he met the woman at the well. Regardless of her social standing, he made a difference there. He met a tax collector in a tree. He met a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. He met a man that was sick on a bed for 38 years. He met up with a man that was dying on the cross. Jesus could have thought, he didn't have the time for me. He's a thief anyways. Let him die. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wanted the thief on the other side of him to repent too, but he chose not to do so. Now in Luke chapter 8, he met another situation here, verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. For 12 years, this woman was sick. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she could not hide, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Jesus met this woman where she was. Yes, she came to Jesus, but Jesus met her. Jesus healed her. It don't give us any indication in here that she was a follower of Jesus. It doesn't say that she was one of the devout women that was a follower and was there helping take care of him. Gives us no indication of that. She was somebody that just heard about Jesus, and she came, and Jesus met her where she was in her faith, and where her faith was, Lord, if I can but touch the hem of that garment, I know that I'm going to be made whole. And so when we say Jesus will meet you where you are, and we're talking about physical places, and then we could also have to do this analogy, Jesus will meet you where you are in your faith tonight. If you have faith to move a mountain, Jesus will meet you there. If you have just a little bit of faith, Jesus will honor that. He will meet you there. That's the kind of God we're serving. Amen. We're serving that kind of God. And so for that first one we looked at, the woman at the well, Jesus, amen, Jesus isn't fazed by your situation. He wasn't fazed by this woman's situation. Jesus will meet you where you are. You don't understand my situation. Man, I'm a hot mess. And there's a lot of people that their lives is a hot mess. And they can say, I'm a hot mess. There's no way that God can help me. Jesus isn't fazed by your situation and your circumstances. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 15, it says this, that he sees the sin in our heart. He knows the wrong that's inside of us. He's not fazed by it. Amen. If a drunk comes to Jesus, Jesus knows that they have that addiction. He's not fazed by that. Nope, I'm not going to go near them. They have an addiction. I'm going to stay. Jesus doesn't do that. Amen. He's not fazed by the situation. And in Romans 3:23, he knows our desires, and he still comes after us. Jesus comes after us. He knows the wrong desires that people have, but he still chases hard after us. Jesus still chases hard after you, even in your shortcomings. He doesn't look at you and, that's the way they think they're going to serve me. I'm just going to stop. Now, there is a point where you can stop the hand of God, where you can stop the dealings of God in your life, and you could push God away, but he's going to keep coming after us. Amen. And he's not surprised. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, sometimes we can't believe ourselves. Let me read this statement that I have written here. God, Jesus, is not surprised by our evil desires. You can read that in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, if you care to note that down. He is not surprised by your evil desires, but what he wants to do, he wants to reconcile us to God. I can't reconcile you to God. You're a hot mess. You got all this going on in your life. You're into the depths of sin. You can't be reconciled to God. The desire of Jesus is to reconcile people to God. It doesn't matter their situation. In the story of Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, as we look at this, it tells us, it shows us that when there is true faith and repentance, Jesus is more than willing to change a person's life.
Amen.
People will say, God can't accept me. You don't know all the bad that I've done. You don't know how I've cursed God. You don't know the evil that I've done. And you don't know who you might run across in life. Some of the evil crimes and things that they have committed. Perhaps have spent time incarcerated somewhere for something that they've been convicted of. And they can have that feeling that Jesus doesn't want me. Jesus is more than willing to change a life. If that life wants to be changed, He's more than willing. He'll meet you where you are.
Amen.
You don't have to change to come to God. Too many people don't come to church. Because if you talk to some, you'll find this out. They, if you get in a deep enough of a conversation with them, they somehow think they're not good enough for church. They're not good enough for God. And if I do these certain things, and then I'll be good enough. Listen, none of us are never good enough for God. We're never good enough for God when we live in this flesh. But it's because of the righteousness of Christ that lives within us, that makes us holy and right before God. And so Jesus is more than willing to change lives. And in the woman that was caught in the sin of adultery, what does Jesus teach us there? He teaches us this, grace and forgiveness. Grace and forgiveness. Amen. That song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And that's worked in all of our lives. And we can tell that to other people. Amen. Jesus will meet you where you are. And the man that was sick for 38 years. Amen. I want to read these scriptures in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. We're almost finished here tonight. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 and 3. I want to read this because sickness is something that's hard to understand. You're a child of God. You get a diagnosis, it's not a good one. Sickness. We have in our group a young man. We're on Facebook Live, so I'm not going to say names. We have a young child that's diagnosed with leukemia. He's struggling. He's still not out of the woods on that. He is by faith. They say there's no leukemia there, but there's just setback after setback. It's hard to understand that. It's like, why in the world? What's going on? So what did we learn from this sick man? He was sick for 38 years. Let's read Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 and 3. When thou passest, and I could just preach a sermon on this, but this is more teaching than I probably been preaching. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And the waters and the rivers could be sicknesses that come into our life. It could be trials and tribulations. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and sea before thee. When we pass through these things, what we get out of this, he said, I will be with thee. And he was there with that sick man. God was there. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When we're suffering in sickness, he's suffering with us. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
Yes.
The chastisement of his peace is upon. And with his stripes, we are healed. He will meet you where you are. You just have to have that faith. Well, a lot of people, the devil does it to people. Something happens. A sickness comes on. And they think it's because of, I've done this in my life, and God's let me suffer because I did this in my life. You need to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. Amen. Because sickness is of the devil. I may have done that in my life. You need to tell the devil, I may have done that in my life, but you know what? I came to Jesus, and he forgave me of my sins, and the word tells me that he don't remember my sins anymore. Then in the sea of God's forgetfulness. So that's not why I'm going through this. Amen. He just tells people so many things, but God will be with you. And what can we learn about the thief? Amen. Where Jesus met him where he was. He was welcomed by Jesus because he believed in Christ. And so we go out into this lost and dying world and we talk to people about Jesus. I'm not good enough. I'm a thief. I'm this and I'm that. If that person believes in Jesus, he will take them in. He's not going to say, you've done too much bad, you've done too much evil, you need to go out and do some penance for your sins. And they do that in some third world countries where they carry a cross and they have to climb steep hills and up roots until their fingers are bleeding because they're getting penance for their sins. We don't have to do that. No. There's nothing that we can ever do to be good enough for God. The only way that we're good enough for God is believing in the work that Jesus did on the cross and asking Him to live in our hearts and in our lives. And it's His righteousness that lives in us that makes us good enough for God. Amen. He won't throw anybody out. So the thief was welcome because he believed in Christ. And on the other hand, the thief on the other side of Jesus wasn't welcome because he didn't believe in Christ. He didn't want to go that way. Amen. And then the last one that we looked at, and this can happen in our lives, and we're finishing up here tonight. This woman with the issue of life, and this happens to people sometimes, look for opportunities. The situation that she had pulled her towards Jesus. 12 years. She didn't come to Jesus at the beginning of that. Now we know His ministry was only 3.5 years, and so, you know, we can start to debate and figure all this out mathematically and say, well, He wasn't even in His ministry yet. But her situation pulled her towards Jesus. Some people will try everything. They don't get none the better physically. They'll try everything in a situation to fix their marriage, to fix a relationship with their children, to fix a financial issue. There's many things that we face in life that we try to fix them, but when we come up empty and we don't get what we need, then that situation, as with us, even though we're children of God, sometimes a situation that we face will pull us closer to God than what we were. Not that we weren't right with God, but it pulls us into a closer relationship with Him. And the situations that people face in this world, it can pull them towards Jesus. Amen. They need to hear about Jesus. But we are His eyes. We are His ears. We are His hands extended to this lost and dying world. And we need to reach out to people where they are. Too many times it's like, hey, come to church. Come to church. And I invite people to church. Amen. So I'm just as guilty as probably some of you are. We want them to come to church. It's like, we don't know how to help people. You just have to go where they are and get into where their life is and see their situation, and then let that Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you begin to minister through you, and you'll be able to help, and you'll be able to tell people things like Jesus did at this woman at the well. God will begin to reveal things to you. There'll be words coming out of your mouth. You don't even know why you're saying what you're saying, but you'll be ministering onto those people, and it will make them more hungry for Jesus than they ever were. And there could be a transformation in their life because Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance. And Jesus will meet people where they are. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. Stand to our feet tonight. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us. You can stand there right in the aisle in the seats where you are. You can come up to the front if you would want to. And ask God to help us. Lord, help me to meet people where they are, just like You did. God, I get so frustrated at times. I'm the same as You. I want to see more people in the church house, and they just don't come because we're not meeting them where they are. We go down to the park, we're given an opportunity, but you got to meet them where they are. You got to get out there where they are. You got to rub elbows with them. You have to get involved in their lives a little bit. It might put you into some uncomfortable situations, but the Holy Spirit will take word. Amen. He'll take over. He'll take the words and put them in your mouth, what you need to say to them, so that you can lead them to a better way. Father, this night, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help us, Lord, to be as You were, to reach out to people where they are at, God. Lord, where they are at, so many times we want them to come. We do want them to come in, but God, we have to go into the highways and the byways, and we have to compel them to come in, God. We have to give them a convincing reason that they need to come in, oh God. Help us, Father, in the name of Jesus, to meet people where they are, God, because You met us where we were at, God, and You ministered unto us. None of us were good enough, God, but You took us in, God, because we reached out to You. Help us, Father, in the name of Jesus, to be Your hands extended into this world, oh God. Lord, sharing this gospel of Jesus Christ, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, God. Lord, help me, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, help us this night, God. Lord, help us this night. Speak to us, God. And I believe that you will speak to us. You will show us who to go to. You will give us the words to say, God. There's somebody out there that every one of us can reach, God. Lord, and it